We've probably all found ourselves in a place of just nothingness, in a place of that just felt bleak, that felt dark, that felt sad, that we just wanted to get away from, right? Have you ever been there? Amen. And tonight we're going to look at we're going to be looking in Ruth, and most of the time when we talk about Ruth, we talk about Ruth and Boaz, and that's always fun, right? But that's not all there is in that book, in the book of Ruth. And so tonight we're gonna kind of focus on another part of that book, and probably over the next few Sunday nights we're just gonna focus on Ruth, in the book of Ruth, and go through that. But Ruth chapter 1, it says in the days, chapter 1 verse 1, it says, in the days when the judges ruled in Israel, a severe famine came upon the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah left his home and went to live in the country of Moab, taking his wife and two sons with him. The man's name was Elimelech, and his wife was Naomi. Their two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, and they were Ephraimites from Bethlehem in the land of Judah. And when they reached Moab, they settled there. And Elimelech died, and Naomi was sent, or was left with her two sons. And then their two sons married Moabite women. One married a woman named Orpah. And when I was a kid, I always just read that as Oprah. And the other, a woman named Ruth. But about 10 years later, both Mahlon and Chilion died. They left Naomi alone without her two sons or a husband. Then Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had blessed his people in Judah by giving them good crops again. So Naomi and her daughter-in-laws got ready to leave Moab and return to her homeland. With her two daughter-in-laws, she set out from the place where she had been living, and they took the road that would lead them back to Judah. But on the way, Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, go back to your mother's home, and may the Lord reward you for your kindness to your husbands and to me. May the Lord bless you with the security of another marriage. And then they kissed them goodbye, and they all broke down and wept. No, they said, we want to go with you and go to your people. But Naomi replied, why should you go on with me? Can I still give birth to other sons who can grow up to be your husbands? No, my daughters, return to your parents' home, for I am too old to marry again. And even if it were possible, I were to get married tonight and bear sons, then what? Would you wait for them to grow up and refuse to marry someone else? No, of course not, my daughters. Things are far more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord himself has raised his fist against me. And again they wept together. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung tightly to Naomi. Look, Naomi said to her, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. You should do the same. But Ruth replied, don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us. And when Naomi said that to Ruth, or saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she said nothing more. So the two of them continued on their journey. When they came to Bethlehem, the entire town was excited by their arrival. Is it really Naomi? The woman asked. Don't call me Naomi, she responded. Instead, call me Mara, for the Almighty has made life very bitter for me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me home empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has caused me to suffer and the Almighty has set such tragedy upon me? So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by her daughter-in-law Ruth and the young Moabite woman, and they arrived in Bethlehem in late spring at the beginning of the barley harvest. You know, Naomi, she went from praise to Moab. Judah means praise, and that's where she was at. That's where they were. They were at Bethlehem, the house of bread. And she left praise to go to Moab, and eventually, though, she came back to praise. But at the beginning of this chapter, it says, a severe famine came upon the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah left his home and went to live in the country of Moab, taking his wife and his two sons. His name was Elimelech. And his wife with Naomi and their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. See, their names, when the names have meanings, and in Jewish culture especially, their names were very important. It was important. They didn't name their sons until the eighth day because they wanted their names to mean something. It had very intense meaning. And so we're going to look at the names of these guys. And first, they were Ephraimites, which means they were fruitful. They lived in Bethlehem, which was the house of bread, in Judah, which means he shall be praised. So they were fruitful in the house of bread, and they were praising the Lord. And when we are praising him and giving him glory, he will make you fruitful. Elimelech means God is king, and Naomi means pleasant or joyful. Mahlon means dance, and Chilion means consuming. And so there was a famine in the land, and there's a problem. So Eli loads up the donkeys and maybe a camel, and they leave the house of bread, they leave the land of praise, and they head to Moab. And when they reached Moab, they settled there. Moab means nothingness. So they went from the house of bread, the house of praise, to go to nothingness. He's running from the famine, and he runs to wasting away in nothingness. And he settles there. In the same way, we can get in a situation that's uncomfortable, that's not quite right, and instead of facing it, instead of praising God through it, we run to Moab. We run to nothingness. We run to the waste. What happens when we're in the waste, in the nothingness? What happens there? Mahlon, the guy that means dance, becomes a sick person. Chilion, the consuming, he's wasting away. Naomi means pleasant and joyful, but when she comes back, she says her name is Mara, which is bitterness. In the nothingness, we begin to waste away and turn bitter. We could have stayed and praised God, but instead we run to nothingness. Instead, we run to trouble. Instead, we put ourselves in situations that causes us more harm. Instead of letting the problem be the miracle, being the prerequisite for the miracle, we run away from it. In the nothingness, we begin to waste away. We turn bitter, and we could have stayed and praised, but instead we're running to the nothingness. I want to stand and praise in the midst of it all. I want to praise him when it's good. I want to praise him when it's bad. I'll praise him when it gets worse, and I'll still praise him. I refuse to go to Moab. I refuse to find myself in a place of bitterness. I'll be better. I'll get better. I won't get bitter. There have been times in my life, there have been places and situations that would have been very easy for me to become bitter. I had to fight it. I had to fight being bitter. I had to fight being upset and angry. And sometimes it was over stuff that it made me angry, but nobody else knew it was making me angry. No one else knew that it was frustrating or that was what it was doing. And I could have become bitter. I could have become angry. And sometimes I did, and I had to pray through. But I'm going to praise him. I would rather get better than turn bitter. It says in verse 3, then Elimelech died, and Naomi was left with her two sons. The two sons married Moabite women. One married a woman named Orpah, and the other married a woman named Ruth. But about 10 years later, both Mahlon and Chilion died. See, they didn't get to this point overnight. They didn't get to bitterness overnight. They didn't get to feeling and being sick and dying and losing everything overnight. It happened over a period of time. The famine didn't last 10 years in Judah. It didn't last 10 years in Bethlehem that there was a famine there. But they stayed in nothingness. They stayed in bitterness. They stayed in the place that they had gone after they left praise. For 10 years they were there. They stayed in Moab. Some of you have been flirting with Moab for some time. Something has happened that has caused you to be angry, that has caused you to be irritated, that has caused division, and instead of addressing it, you've allowed it to fester to the point that you've become bitter and bitterness is beginning to set in. You blame God for whatever it was that happened. You blame the person that did whatever it was to you, even though they probably don't even know they did it. And it's time to leave Moab and not return. I've seen people in churches that get mad at someone and they carry it around for years. And they're still mad about something that happened when they were young people. And they're old people now. And they're still mad about that thing, that situation, that circumstance. Because they've went to Moab and they've stayed there and they've never left. And they act like everything's good. And sometimes they can even think that everything's good. But you mention that person's name or you mention a situation and immediately they're mad again. It's like it all happened all over again. Because they never let God take care of it. They allow bitterness to set in. They allowed it to consume them. When I was an evangelist, so we went to places and you just start talking to people. People tell you a lot of things. Sometimes, I don't know why, and it didn't just happen as an evangelist, it happens even now. People tell me way more than I need to know. In random places, not even at church. Sometimes I'm like, why are you telling me this? Please stop. It's too much information. But I remember there was this man, and he has to be dead now. He was old then, and this has been a long time since I've seen him eat. But he was mad about something that happened when he was very young. Someone had done something to him in the church, and he was mad at that person, and he was still mad at that person. That person was dead. What they had done, he told me the whole story, and I was thinking, man, I bet that person didn't even realize they did that. Y'all are laughing, but some of y'all have been dealing with the same kind of stuff. And I thought, when I left that place, man, this guy may miss heaven over this sticking point right here because he hasn't forgiven that person. And that's the problem that I have with bitterness and anger and hatred, is because you're going to miss heaven because you won't forgive that person and move on. I'm not telling you you got to be that person's best friend. I'm not telling you you got to go have Thanksgiving dinner with them, but you have to forgive them. You can't be so angry and bitter about it. I promise you that 9 times out of 10, people hurt you and they don't even realize it. We'll move on. Verse 6 says, then Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had blessed the people in Judah by giving them good crops again. So Naomi and her daughter-in-laws got ready to leave Moab and return to her homeland. Naomi had heard that Judah was being blessed, and she decided it was high time to go home. She's been there for 10 years. It's time to go home. I think she looked around and said, how did I get to this place? How did I get to this place of nothingness? How did I get to this place of bitterness? How did I get to this place of disaster? It's time that I go home. It's time that I go back to praise. We're in the place of nothingness in Moab. God has a way of showing us he's still able to bless. It's time that we head back to Judah. We get back to praise. And the praise is where the blessing is. Let's get back to Judah. Not everyone that is connected to you or connected with you is supposed to stay with you. Not everyone that's there is supposed to stay. There are people who are only in your life for a season, for a reason, and sometimes people are in your life for a purpose. And it's the same way with the church. Not everyone that comes through the doors and stays here for a minute is supposed to be here forever. And that's okay. They're supposed to be here for a season, and there is a reason for that. There is a reason that they were here. There's a purpose for them here. But when it's time for them to go and God moves them on, or they decide to move on their own, it's okay. It's all right. I'm not going to tell you that it's easy when people leave. It hurts. But I also have realized that sometimes people aren't supposed to be on the train the whole time. They got their stop. It's not supposed to be the full season that we're going to be. I think she looked around and she said, it's time to go. It's time to go. It's time to get out of this place. And Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, go back to your mother's home and may the Lord reward you for your kindness to your husbands and to me. And on her way back, she says to them, don't stay with me. There is nothing I can do if you stay here. I can't help you. I'm too old to have more kids so that you can marry. I'm so glad that the laws aren't like they were then. She tells Orpah and Ruth both to go back. They don't need to come. You don't need to come with me. And there's this long dialogue of them saying they would go with her. But then she says, things are far more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord himself has raised his fist against me. And then Orpah says, okay, I'm going home. And she kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. And Naomi was saying, this is my battle. I need to face this. I need to return to the place of praise. Bitterness has taken hold of me. And Orpah kissed her and left. But Ruth clung tightly to Naomi. Ruth clung tightly to her. Rather than leave her, she clings to her and says, and said something we would all love to hear. Wherever you go, I'll go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die. And there I'll be buried. We would love someone to show us that kind of loyalty, right? That says, regardless of your shortcomings, regardless of your failures, I will stand with you through the thick and thin. We'll get through this bitterness together. We'll praise our way through it together. We're going to get through this. So the two of them continued on their journey, and when they came to Bethlehem, the entire town was excited by their arrival. Is it really Naomi? The women asked. Don't call me Naomi, she responded. Instead, call me Mara, for the Almighty has made my life very bitter for me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me home empty. In a lot of ways, Naomi is like the prodigals. She came home and people were excited, but she still got junk to work through. She still got problems. She still got bitterness to work herself out of. When prodigals come home, we need to be excited, but we also have to realize that they need to be filled up again because they're coming home empty and they need encouragement and they need love, and it's going to be tough love for a moment. It took Naomi a little while to get better, to get full again. It took her a little while. And Ruth just worked with her through it. She walked with her through it. She walked with her through the bitterness. She walked with her through the hurt and the pain. She walked through her through knowing that she has lost her husband and she could be desolate. But Boaz comes along. He comes along and he redeems things. In Ruth chapter 4, verse 15, it says, may he restore your youth and care for you in your old age. For he is the son of your daughter-in-law who loves you and has been better to you than seven sons. Naomi took the baby. This is after Ruth has had a baby from Boaz and her get together and they have a baby. And Naomi took the baby and cuddled him to her breast and she cared for him as if he were her own. The neighbor women said, now at last Naomi has a son again, and they named him Obed. Obed means a servant who worships. She got her praise back. Now she can worship. She moved out of bitterness. It may have been bleak for a while. There may have been doubts and worries, but on the other side there was joy. Psalms 30, verse 5 says, weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. What is it going to take to get our joy back? What is it going to take? How many of us have been staying in Moab? I believe that every person in this room at some point in their life has ended up in Moab, in the place of nothingness, in a place of hurt, in a place of anger, in a place of bitterness. But are we going to stay there or are we going to return to praise? Are we going to return to joy or are we going to stay bitter? Some of you today need to return to your praise. We need to come back to the place of worship. You've been weeping, but joy is coming. The morning is coming. The morning is coming. How long will you stay in Moab, in the land of affliction, in the land of loss, in the land of sadness? How long will you stay in the land of bitterness? When will you return to the land of praise? What's it going to take for you to return to the land of praise? What's it going to take? I'm going to ask everyone that would to stand to your feet this. Lord, I just pray tonight that if there's anyone in this place that's living in Moab, that's living in the place of nothingness, that's living in the place of bitterness, that's living in the place of anger and hurt, God, I pray that tonight that you begin to move in their hearts, that you begin to draw them in and draw them out of that place of nothingness and into praise. Lord, Ruth and Naomi had to leave nothingness and return to praise to be redeemed. And Lord, I pray that you help us as a church to return to praise, to return to joy. Lord, we just thank you. We praise you tonight. We thank you. We praise you. Maybe you're here and you're in that place of nothingness. Maybe you're in that place of Moab. Maybe it's been a time of loss in your life. Maybe it's been a time of hurt and pain. Maybe it's been a time of bitterness. I want to encourage you to come. I want to invite you to come to this altar. I want to pray with you. I want to believe with you. If you're ready to leave that place and return to praise, I want to invite you to come. You're in a place of bitterness. You're in a place of anger. You're in a place of loss. A place of sadness. You say, I'm ready to return to that land of praise. I want to invite you to come. You're ready to get your joy back. I want to invite you to come. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Lord, I just thank you right now. I thank you for the ones that responded. And Lord, I pray that you just begin to move in this house, God. Lord, help us to not get in a place of Moab. Help us to not get in a place of sadness and bitterness. Help us to not get in a place of frustration and anger. Help us to move into that place of joy. If you feel led to come and pray around this altar, if you feel led to come and pray for the ones that are here, feel free to do so.